What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events and concerns that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's young folks to discuss voting rights. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. The Voting Rights Act, considered the most effective piece of civil rights legislation ever enacted in the country, was passed in 1965. It's a vital safeguard to the right to vote. Students from the Florida State University Developmental School examine issues surrounding voting. They look at the disenfranchised, the young activists pushing to vote at 16. And I welcome four students. And I'm always glad to have, first of all, Jasmine Espinosa. Jasmine has been on 411 Teen many times, and we are always glad to have her. She is a junior. Her thing is SGA.
Hi, it's always great to be here.
Chelsea Himmer. Chelsea is in the 10th grade. She's into marine biology, SGA, and cross country.
Yes, that's right. Hi.
And I'm glad to have you. Inquiry Warren. She's in the 9th grade. Dance, school, and Netflix. That's her thing.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Cameron Brown. Also in the 9th grade, she is into art and fashion and architecture.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I've got some dynamic young women here with me, and I welcome all of you to 411 Teen. The New York Times reported that enthusiasm among young voters seems to be falling sharply since the last election. Many young people speak of feeling alienated from politics. And although you aren't voting yet, I want to get your take on it. What do you think is happening? Why do we see, you know, this enthusiasm kind of waning so?
Okay, well, I'll be able to vote for the upcoming presidential election, which I'm super excited about.
So, okay.
But I know that in 2008, my family talks about politics, and so, like, I'm interested in it, and I don't know. I just know, I feel like I know a lot about it. And I remember in 2008, I know I was only in fifth grade, but a lot of young people were interested in voting then because it was a change with Barack Obama being, like, being able, he was running for president. So, of course, people wanted to vote for something that was different. And, like, so that, and now with Donald Trump running, I know that a lot of younger people are on board with his decisions and stuff, even though, you know, some people don't think they're, like, agree with him. So I think that when something different comes along, the younger people tend to hop onto that bandwagon. So I think that's what kind of makes or breaks the if young people are going to vote or not.
Okay. All right. You raised some valid issues. Chelsea, what do you think?
I think that enthusiasm is declining because teens are kind of more worried about other stuff that's happening now. So, like, technology and, like, hanging out with friends and stuff. So they're not really watching the news or knowing what's going on around the world or who's running for president.
So it's just not a priority is what I hear you say. Okay. All right. Cameron, where do you sit? How do you view this whole lack of enthusiasm? Or maybe there's not a lack of enthusiasm. Maybe they've just got a misreading on it.
I agree with Chelsea because I'm 15 and I'll be 16 next year. And voting, I'm not really interested in doing that yet. I don't think I have a strong enough opinion on what's going on to, like, decide something as big as that.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear because one of the issues that I want us to look at some point in this discussion is the whole move to vote at 16. And I hear you saying, hey, I'll be 16, but I don't think I'm ready to vote. So you hold all those thoughts and we'll get back to it. And what about you, Inquiry?
I kind of agree with what Jasmine, Chelsea, and Cameron are saying. I, on the other hand, I think I'm, like, really interested in politics just a little. My family doesn't really talk about it. And my other thing is, like, at school, we don't really talk about it either.
Really?
Like, teachers are always saying, like, oh, I'm not supposed to tell you my political affiliation. So, like, in my years of schooling, I haven't really heard teachers talk about politics as much. I feel like that's
But, you know, you can talk about it. But you don't have to really
say.
Right.
You
can, I mean, yes.
Even though I've never heard about it, like, teachers haven't talked to me about it that much. And even my history teacher and stuff, they teach about history, but not they don't focus on it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping maybe when I get a government class, I'll talk mm-hmm. more about it.
Do you all still have government?
Yes,
ma'am. You do still have government. I mean, that's a requirement.
I'm in it this year, and you have to – most of – there's 11 juniors in it this year, and last year there's only one because they opened it up to juniors. This mm-hmm. is the first year that juniors were allowed to take that as an elective. Oh, okay. So that's why there's more. But you usually take it your senior year, and you have to pass that class to graduate. Okay. It's government and econ. So technically my government class is almost over because January is about to come, and then it'll be econ.
Okay. But now in your government class, I mean, I'm not saying that you have to discuss Democrat, Republican. Mm-hmm. I mean, but do you look at the issues? Do you talk about any of
yes,
that?
Yes, ma'am. But we don't use those terms. We use conservative and liberal. Okay. And liberal. Mm-hmm. Because people get, like, some people get offensive. And I, like, there are bold people in my class. So, you know, my teacher doesn't want to, like, start problems or stuff. And we mm-hmm. do have debates okay. about interesting topics that are usually controversial between the two parties. So, and we, the first week of school, we took a test to show us where we are on the authoritarian chart, which just shows mm-hmm. if we're conservative or mm-hmm. liberal. Okay. So that was pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, do you think the appeal for politics is still there and alive and well? And I'm looking at you as I'm talking, Chelsea, we got this eye contact going on. But, I mean, do you think the appeal is still there, or is it no longer?
I think it's still there because I just turned 16, so I got my driver's license about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And so,
and we waited for you, and you made it. And you drove here yes. by yourself. Congratulations.
And then after I went to go get my driver's license, when they were filling out all the information on it, they asked me, like, what party am I going to be affiliated with for, like, pre-registration? Because it's, like, good for 7 years. And so that kind of, like, got me excited that I get to vote in 2 years.
So. Okay, so the enthusiasm, you think, is still there. Okay. Everyone else agree? Where do you sit? You think?
I mean, for me, it's still there. I don't really know about, like, my friends-wise. I think Cameron's in, like, kind of my friend group here, and I know we don't really talk much about politics. I know I bring it up a lot myself. But like, other than that, we don't really talk about it.
Well, you've answered my next anticipated question, because I wanted to ask, what role does politics play in your lives? I mean, is it a topic that you talk about among your peers? Are you all following the presidential campaign at all? Where do you sit with that, Cameron?
I feel like I don't follow any of that stuff, but mm-hmm. when I hear about it, like even on Instagram, I get interested. So if we learned about it more in school, I probably would be interested, because even when Increase showed, like, text me pictures of politics and whatever, and it does interest me, but I just haven't been exposed to it as much as other people.
Okay.
I don't talk about it with my friends because I just feel like, even though I'm like the oldest one here mm-hmm. right now, because I'll be 18 next year, but my friends, I still feel like aren't mature enough. They just listen to what their parents say, and like, which frustrates me, because then they'll say such things that like, I don't think they realize what they're saying. And so I don't think they look into it as much as I do. So I just don't think that, I mean, I think I'm ready to vote at 18, but I would never, lowering it would kind of, I think, disappoint some people, which is what you told us, but I think that it doesn't make a lot of sense, because, like Cameron said, she's not ready to vote, and, like, my friends who are 17 and 16, I don't think that they know enough.
Oh, that's interesting.
About it.
That's interesting. So you're the only one who will be eligible mm-hmm. to vote mm-hmm. next year. Okay. So, and I guess you're very excited about mm-hmm. that. Do you feel like there is an alienation? Do you feel like, and we were talking about this out in the lobby, do you feel like your peers, your age group, are alienated from the real group, real life things that's going on in politics? I mean, do you think it's, that's for them? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think so, because I think they listen to what their parents say, and I think they read headlines and then not read the articles or stuff like that, so they don't really get the full picture. So they'll be like, oh, yeah, I saw blah, 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 but then they don't know anything about. You know how headlines can be misleading mm-hmm. until you actually
Indeed.
Read the article? So they could say something, and it could be completely wrong just because they only read the headline and didn't look further into the information that they should have read about.
Okay. How do you feel on that, Chelsea?
I think that teens are alienated from politics because, once again, no one talks about it. Mm-hmm. Unless, like, your parents do. And then, like, some things, like, on the news you might hear and then, like, not understand. And so you're just, and so you can talk about it, but then, like, you won't really understand it.
Okay. All right. You agree, Cameron, or you, mm-hmm. you feel alienated, or you feel like you're connected?
Yeah, and also, like, 18, you're also an adult, and 16, you're still living under your parents' house. You're still going to high school. And I just don't think that's a right age limit. And, you know, some parents, they don't want their kids knowing about that stuff. So some kids might not know anything because their parents don't want them to.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point. Where do you, well, what do you think? Do you agree, Inquiry?
Yeah, I agree with what they say. I just think there are different kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I would be okay to vote at 16, but I know some of my peers wouldn't because they haven't, like, really formed their own opinions about politics, really. Okay. They kind of just, I know, mm-hmm. like Jasmine was saying, they kind of just listen to what their parents say and kind of base their opinions off of that instead of getting, like, a whole picture from somewhere else.
Where do you get most of your news and information? I mean, do you get it from the newspaper? Do you get it from the internet? Where do you all get your news? And I want to hear from each one of you.
I get it from, I watch CNN. Okay. And on the new upgrade on the iPhone, they have it. If you swipe left on the home screen, they have the top news story. Mm-hmm. So I always try and read those if they interest me.
Okay.
And in my history class, we do... Our teacher asks us what's going on in the world today, and we'll watch a video or somebody will tell a story that they read at the end of class.
Okay. All right. What about you, Chelsea?
Well, at my house, my parents have on the news like 24/7. So, like, we're not forced, but we
don't
watch
have
the
much
news,
choice,
though.
Do you?
Right. So we pretty much watch different news stations.
Okay. Do you have any particular one you follow more than another?
I think it's CNN.
Okay. Cameron.
Yeah, my household, we don't really talk about politics, like, at all. The only time I talk about government and those kind of issues would probably be in school or from Inquiry.
Okay, so that's not something that you discuss at all in your home. And Inquiry.
I think I watch politics things by myself. I kind of, like, see, like, if I'm on Tumblr or Instagram or something, I see, like, specific stories I read more about mm-hmm. and specific people's, like, blogs and stuff mm-hmm. that they...
Your general, you know,
like
news. Everyday
I just,
news. I mean, do you
I
get it from
the
television?
Daily Show?
Oh, okay.
It's Trevor Noah.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
But, I think it's a little liberal and a little like not school appropriate sometimes, but it's funny and it gives you the news.
It certainly
so
does.
I think it counts.
Well, hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, talking with some dynamic young folks here from Florida High. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I'm talking with students from Florida High. We're looking at voting rights, activism. Young activists are pushing to lower the age from 18 to 16. By the time you're 16, you can work, you can drive, you can pay taxes, and you can be held responsible for adult criminal charges. So why shouldn't a 16-year-old be allowed to vote?
I think this goes back to kind of like the government class at school, because that's where I... Like, this year, I think I've been the most interested in politics and in the government just because I have that course. And I think that it's a senior class, but mm-hmm. like I said earlier, that they opened it up at my school to juniors this year, which they might change. I don't know. But I think that that's where people get a lot of their information. So I think that they should wait till they're 18. Like, they should make the law still 18 because you're still having that class in high school, not while you're in 10th or 11th grade normally.
Do you think the information you get in that class is helpful and prepares you to vote?
I think so, because my teacher, her name's Miss Deed, and she's a great teacher, and she used to be a
Shout
substitute.
Shout out for Miss Deed.
Yeah, if you're listening. She used to be a substitute, and so I've loved her ever since then, because she was awesome, and she talks about voting. She stresses it so much, because we've talked about how, like, 40% of people don't vote because they think that their vote won't count. But then when you're put into that 40%, that's almost half. mm-hmm. of the people that don't vote. Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference. And it's like we talked about all the different things that contribute to making voting difficult for some people. Like it's on a Tuesday usually, so that's during the business week, so that's hard. But she stresses it a lot. So I think it might depend on the teacher, not just the course. But it's really important to her, so I think she transfers how she feels about it to us really well.
Okay. Chelsea, why shouldn't 16-year-olds vote?
I think they shouldn't vote because they're still 16 and kids. But on the other hand, like, everyone has the choice to vote. So I think if you're, like, knowledgeable enough to vote, that you should have the chance to.
Okay. So you're saying, just to make sure I hear you, that 16-year-olds should have the option to vote. I mean, that's what you're saying, right?
I think so.
Well, then you have to tell me. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I think they should vote, but I don't think it's right for everyone.
But okay. But I mean, how are you going to make that distinction?
Yeah,
you can't make that. Okay. It would be safer to just, like, have people keep the law like Jasmine said.
At 18.
Right, but there's people who are older than you that might not be knowledgeable about politics either, and they still get to vote. So that's kind of my reasoning on it. Like, if I'm 16 and these laws are going to affect me, like if I'm working in these jobs, like wasn't there a law passed recently about minimum wage going to like $10 an hour or something now? Like, if that was going to affect me, I'd want to vote about it. And so...
Right.
If there's people, like, if there's still people, like, older than me and not knowledgeable, if you're saying, like, that's why 16-year-olds shouldn't be able to vote, it's kind of like, well, there's already other people that can vote, so it's like, difference is that going to make?
Right. What do you think, Cameron?
Yeah, I agree with Jasmine. I also agree with Inkri because Jasmine's point is, like, we're not everyone is mature enough, but Inkri, there are a lot of people who are mature enough. Like, I'm in Key Club. And they run for high positions, and they know where they're talking about. So I understand, like, if I saw someone running for Key Club, I would want them to also vote. But then you have people at school who really shouldn't have that much power in their hands.
Okay. So that's interesting, because from you all four of you, well, you're not really saying that. Three of you are saying, no, you don't think people should vote at 16, right? I mean, that's right.
But I think it depends. How old are you, Inkri?
I'm 15.
Yeah, so she's almost 16, and she's actually interested in politics. So I think her opinion might be a little biased just because her personal, like, her personal self, she knows about what she's talking about. So I think it's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, we're always talking about engaging. We want to engage young folks. We want to involve young folks in, you know, the civil opportunities. Yet, you know, we don't let them vote. Maybe, now, people who are for voting at 16 say 16 might be an ideal age because you are still home. You may have the influence of parents who can guide you as far as not really telling you what to vote, but make you aware and educate you. You may have access to more information because you are home, and many of you talk about your parents, you know, listening to the news, as opposed to when you're 18, you're leaving home, you're leaving school, your life may be somewhat scattered. So 16 is what they're saying is an ideal age to start. Plus, another point that's often made is that how do you start a good habit? Okay? And, you know, if you started at 16, you know, that is a way of reinforcing. Because just what you had said, Jasmine, we have people, 40% of people who don't vote. But if it started early, if it's cultivated early in your home, it might be something that you want to do. Respond to that.
That does make sense, but, like, my situation is I'll still be at home this upcoming presidential election. I'll still be a senior in high school, so I'll still be living at home. So my family can still influence me that way, but like I was telling you earlier, I'm very independent, so I think I'm really knowledgeable, and I do a lot of research. So I think it depends on if their parents enforce them to research topics about politics instead of telling them, I think this is how this should go, and mm-hmm. I think this is right. Because I really do think that's what's kind of ruining people's, like my friend's personal opinions, because their family is telling them mm-hmm. that this is right, this is right, this is right, and this is completely wrong. So they're being kind of closed-minded. And they're forced to remember this information and not even worrying about other stuff.
No, that's a good perspective.
This is also like another biased opinion, because I like politics and I feel like I'm kind of young. I think it should be like introduced a little more earlier into like your curriculum at school and stuff, because like you were saying with your government class, like now you're more interested in it and you're like ready for this election. But like, are there people in your class that are kind of like closed-minded?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like if they were introduced to politics and like different sides of politics earlier, before maybe their parents' like views really set in on them, that like maybe they could make their own opinions more easily.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The last time the voting age issue was raised was in 1971, when 18-year-olds got the right to vote. What happened, there was a ratification of the 26th Amendment of the Constitution, and it lowered the voting age to 18. This was during a time when 18-year-olds were being drafted and they were being sent to Vietnam. And states are allowed to set the voting age lower, but they can't make it any higher. That's in the amendment, so you can't change that way, but you can go lower. Just for your information, do you think lowering the voting age will help young people become regular voters?
I think it will help them become regular voters, but like I said, I still don't think that they will research. I think that since they're so young, like, because I know when I was younger, and I know 16 isn't that different from 17 or 18, but it's your different grades, you're taking different classes, and you're around different people, and you have different opportunities. So I think that when I was younger, like 15 and 16, I listened to my friends more than I listened to my personal opinion and did research and stuff. So I do think that lowering it might help them vote, but I don't think it'll help them make their own decision. I think that they'll just listen to what other people are saying and then vote.
Yeah. Cameron, you were nodding your head. I wanted to tap into what you had to say.
Yeah, because we're still kind of young and our brains can be molded. And, you know, like, there's been so many things that happen at school. Well, someone will be like, hey, Cameron, are you doing this or this? And then I'll say my answer, and the next thing you know, they're also doing that, and they're only doing it because I do it. So they can do the same thing with presidents. Mm-hmm. They could just piggyback off of someone else.
Okay. Chelsea, what do you think? Do you think lowering the age will help people become, you know, regular voters? Will it increase the turnout if we lower the age?
I definitely think it'll increase the turnout because they'll be excited, like, ooh, I get to vote. And so... So I think they'll definitely be excited about it, but then, like Cameron said, they might be copying their peers on who they're voting for, so it kind of, like, the polls won't be, like, as
accurate.
Yeah. Accurate as they usually are. But I don't know if that would – I think it would increase them going, like, earlier because they'll go for more years. So.
Okay. I think I'm really, like – going for this school thing, like, input it into your schools. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I'm not 18, so I wouldn't know, but, like, Jasmine, if, like, there was a way you could register to vote, like, at school, you would just fill it out and hand it to your teacher or somebody, and they would you think more people would vote?
Well, Miss D did that. That was another thing I was going to bring up. Miss D did that for extra credit in our test category. So it's going to be in there from we're in the second 9 weeks now. So it'll be in there for the next 3 9 weeks, so the rest of the school year. And she gave us an extra credit test grade for registering to vote. So I think it's like it's persuasive, but I would have done it anyway because you can pre-register when you're 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. And then I got my little letter that said that they got my information, but they're not going to send me the card until I can actually vote.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think each one of you have made a statement about maturity. What is it? How do we define maturity at 16 versus maturity at 18? Because everyone has said, well, you didn't say it, but everyone has said, well, I don't know if 16-year-olds are mature enough. And what do you mean by that? I guess is what I want to know. How do you define that?
I wouldn't know. I feel like I don't have a right to say on that. I haven't reached 18 yet, so I don't know what it's like to be 18.
Right.
So I think Jasmine would
Yeah, because, like...
I mean, where are you now, and where do you feel you need to be able to vote and to be a responsible voter?
I think I need to be to the point where I have driven on by myself. I have taken the responsibility of, like, my, like, how do I word it? Like, need to know, yeah, my life, like, how serious this is. Because if I don't know how it feels to live by myself and cook for myself and just take myself to school, then I don't think I should be able to vote. Because I don't know how it is to be an adult yet.
Okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. But now at 18... That doesn't mean you know how to do all those things either.
Yeah, that's
see, that's the only problem. At 18, we're talking about, and I'm not pushing one way or another. I'm playing devil's advocate right here. Okay? Because at 18, all those things that you identified, you still may not know. You still may not live by yourself. You still may not be able to take care of yourself. I mean, so I'm just trying to get a feel from you as to exactly what is involved with being mature enough.
That's what I was going to say, that 18 isn't, you're not doing all those things yet. But I'm not 18 either. I'll be 18 next year. But I think that you need to be able to form your own opinion and actually do the research and actually look into what you're voting for is actually saying. Because sometimes people, like I said earlier, they'll just listen to what other people are telling them. So, but if you find time to form your own opinion and look into it, I think that's when you should be able to vote for yourself.
Okay. All right.
But see, like, my other thing, like, my counter-argument for that point is, like, aren't there adults who don't always formulate and research their opinions, too, and they still go and vote?
But I'm not saying, like, we need to raise the voting age or anything like that. And like Chelsea said, I don't think there's, like, a way to – she didn't say test, but a way to tell if people are knowledgeable enough to vote. So I don't think that raising the age will make a difference, but I do think lowering the age will make a – not to –
Okay.
Great difference.
Okay, so you're saying we don't need to go any lower.
Yeah.
What about you, Chelsea? What do you think?
I
mean, just...
I think that, something that popped into my head is I remember when, like, it was, like, third grade. I don't know why we did this. But we went to the computer lab and took, like, an actual, like, a poll, and it, like, had at the time, like, the presidents, and then it, like, added in, like, celebrities that we may have known, and they were, like, asking you to go ahead and vote for these. And so I think we should probably do that as, like, a practice, maybe, if you don't lower it, and just maybe that can test maturity, like, how many people will select the celebrities, so...
Don't people do that with Mickey Mouse?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like such a waste of a vote because.
They do.
Mickey Mouse isn't going to win. So.
Well, another comment for voting, they say that the electorate is getting older. Therefore, we need young voters to counterbalance that. And that's one of the pros. For 16 voting. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's what they're saying. And then you have some pundits that are saying it's the deterioration of the American fabric. You look at the lack of adequate housing, good sustainable employment, the cost of college education. All of this contributes to an alienation of voters, particularly young voters. Do you think that student debt and women's issues and health care and all of those, do they matter at all to you? Do you feel strongly enough that you'd like to have a voice in these issues? And I'm looking at you, Ingrid, because I want to hear your opinion.
It's like shaking my head.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like that's what I'm saying. Like, laws, don't they take, like, a while to be, like, put into the government and then, like, distributed throughout the state or whatever. So, like, when you're 16, you're voting on these laws that will benefit you when you're 18. So when you're an adult, these laws will, like, come into place and be set in ready for you to go. Like, student loans, I know those things are, like, crazy now.
You're right.
I'm scared for them. Like, I'm scared to be in college and having to be in debt for the rest of my life. So if I had a way to vote to lower those and get better education at the same time when I was 16, so I'd be ready at 18, I would vote for it.
Okay. You're right.
Yeah. See, Camera. I think that's when a lot of the younger kids or the 16-year-olds, that's when they'll, like, start taking this stuff serious. If they can see how it'll interest them and it'll benefit them later, mm-hmm. then they'll take it seriously. But if they just don't know what it's going to do to help them later on in life, they're not going to care.
Okay. Chelsea?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Well, we were just looking at some of the conditions of just society. Lack of adequate housing, the cost of college education, some of the women's issues, healthcare issues, you know, that maybe if you had a say-so in these issues, you know, that you would be much more on top of them and much more involved. I mean, do these issues bother you? Are you concerned about these issues at all?
Well, yeah, I definitely agree that people would like to vote on these issues because, like, we hear about unequal pay in mm-hmm. the women workforce
exactly.
and all the women CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
CEO. Yeah.
And so I definitely think people would like to vote on those. And I think once they realize that their vote actually counts and it, like, goes towards something, that they'll take it seriously.
Okay.
I agree, especially with the equal pay for women. That's and like now they just opened up the like Air Force, not Air Force, but the military to all.
That's right, combat.
Yeah, combat. All mm-hmm. women can do any job now. So I think, I mean, it's making progress surely, but I think that if you want to open it to younger people voting, it should only be stuff that will affect them.
We're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Team. We'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and we are talking about voting rights. I have dynamic students from Florida High School, and I'm always glad to have them. They're my regulars that come often, especially Jasmine Espinoza, Chelsea Hemmer. Jasmine, you got one more year. Jasmine's just a junior, so I'll still see her. Cameron Brown and Inquiry Warren. We have been talking about young folks voting at 16. What do you think we need to do to invigorate young voters, to get them really into voting?
I think, like I keep saying, that it kind of needs to be, I don't want to use the word forced because that's like a negative word, but
implemented.
Yeah, like implemented in them to actually research what they're potentially going to be voting about and not just keep going off of what their peers and parents and family members are feeding them, because that's not always correct information. And even a lot of adults are closed-minded. So
yeah,
I just think that they need to be kind of forced to.
But that kind of goes back to the voting at 16, because those who are pro say if you're voting at 16, you're probably still at home. Your parents, of course, I know it's a fine line, okay, that they walk. It's a tightrope because you don't want the parents to tell them, which is what mm-hmm. happens anyway, to
yeah.
tell them what to do. But at least you'll have the parents to emulate. You see them voting. You hear them talking. And they think that that is a real positive effect, okay? What role do you think the loss of hope plays in dealing with the young voter? And when I say the loss of hope, I'm talking about things like, you know, student debt, which is out to Yahoo, you know? I mean, you know, jobs, adequate housing, all those kinds of things that we've talked about earlier that will indeed, you know, have an impact on you. Do you think that, because you mentioned you were just devastated about just all the debt that one incurs going to college.
I think the college thing could be a big deal
mm-hmm.
if, like, they show them exactly what will happen, because I know my family keeps telling me, oh, you better get a scholarship, you better get a scholarship, because it is a lot of money, and you do all these ways to save money, but there's still stuff that is going to, you're going to have to pay for. It'll add up, and we've looked at it before, and it's a lot, so I think that that and maybe minimum wage will show them, because minimum wage is for students. Like, it's not something you're living
Well, Jasmine, I would agree with you, but that is changing. That what they're finding now, you know, minimum wage was for students, but because of the way the economy is now, you're finding regular folks that are working minimum wage jobs.
Well, it should be for students, because it's not something that you're obviously going to live off of.
And a lot of people, I mean, are living off of it. I mean, that's the big issue now. It really is. You know? So just for your own information, I mean, minimum wage is not just for students. I mean, in my day, it was for students. Maybe, 20 years ago. But today, that's one of the things that's identified, is that what's happening with minimum wage is you see, heads of household having minimum wage jobs, and they have to hold two or three jobs down to be able to just make it.
What the reason, like, whatever you heard this from, did they say what the reason was that they have minimum wage jobs?
Economy. The jobs just aren't there. Our job market is not growing with sophistication. The jobs that are growing are minimum wage. You don't see a lot of high-tech jobs for high school graduates. Mm-hmm. And we still are not a society. The majority are college educated. You know that.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. Is it if it's like, because are they not going and getting a degree? But if it's just because the jobs aren't there, then.
Well, the jobs aren't there. They aren't getting degrees. But it's not just that simple. I mean, getting a degree is not always that easy.
Yeah.
So there are other variables that are involved as far as whether one will pursue higher education. And then we get into a whole, can of worms. Lots of things that influence that. So we have to just keep that, keep that in your mind. Remember that. What issues for you all are high concern when it comes to politics? What are the things that you are concerned about?
Well, I know. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like Jasmine said, the whole college student debt and minimum wage thing. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the main things I would be focused on. Like getting right out of school, what am I going to do next?
Okay. All right. Cameron?
Yeah, I think that probably will be mine the same as Ingrid, because I for sure want to go to FSU, and if I don't get it, I probably will cry for at least a month. So, the loans and stuff, that does scare me a lot, because that FSU was like my top priority in my life.
Okay. Chelsea, you were going to say something. Now you got your turn.
I think what I was going to say, I kind of forgot half of it, but I think some other political issues that are important are like some of the big ones today. Like I don't know much about it, but I like to think about it and kind of just to kind of get my pre thoughts together since I can't vote yet, But immigration and I forgot.
Well, that's all right. I'll come back to you, Jasmine.
The college stuff, I know that my history teacher keeps throwing this at my class, that we're the next generation and all this other stuff. So I think voting is really important. But like I said, we're juniors and not seniors yet, but we're almost there. And we're juniors and not younger people. So I think the 18 is still good. But he keeps throwing us because of, stuff with ISIL now and things like that. And I don't think that we need to – well, this is my opinion, but I don't think that our president needs to be someone that has never had any political background or anything. So I think that is important. And I think that I go to a very good school because Inker said that not any of her teachers talk about it, but we go to the same school, obviously. But majority of my teachers tell me that you guys need to start looking out for this stuff because you're the next generation. Things are changing and things are now becoming our responsibility. So I do think it's really important that we all are informed So that's major, my major.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how do you feel about voter suppression techniques? Because that's something that has occurred in almost all the election. And I'm talking about techniques that are used to limit the voting of various groups. Techniques that were, they told some groups that voting was on one day and it was on another day, mm-hmm. okay? Oh, yeah, those kind of techniques. Techniques where they may be intimidated by the presence of folks at the polls, okay? But how do you feel about those types of techniques that are used?
I didn't know that voting was on Tuesday. Like, it's on Tuesdays all the time. I think that limits, I don't know if this is, it's not, I don't know if it's considered a minority of the population mm-hmm. because there's certainly a lot of people with, like, minimum wage job, but it's, like, the lower class people, I suppose, mm-hmm. because they have these minimum wage jobs. They don't really, like, they might not have the ability to go and vote on a Tuesday for things that might affect them, and that's kind of, like,
well, now, they have attempted in some ways to address that. They would have, you could do a mail-in. So mm-hmm. you can mail and them usually and do the, early voting.
Usually yeah. the people it affects are the people with a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 yeah. job because mm-hmm. they can't leave work. So
yeah, and then if it's 9-to-5, I mean, if you leave work and go directly mm-hmm. to the poll, I mean, it does put restrictions on yeah. you. But you'd have to leave work if you have to pick up your kid. I mean, mm-hmm. all of those different variables are not taken into consideration. How do you feel about voter repression?
Well, I think it's, I guess, just wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. It should be fair. And if a politician wants to win, they should want to win fairly. And so, mm-hmm. like, the right
politicians
way.
Politicians don't always think that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to bring cross
fairly and politicians. Is that an oxymoron?
Well, I'm going to bring cross-country kind of, like, metaphor or whatever uh-huh. into it. But, like, if I'm running a race, I can't just run half the course and then go to the finish line.
Right.
I have to, like, run the whole thing, so. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good.
And so yeah. I think politicians on any scale should want to do that. And I also think, like, the commercials, like, they've already started this, like, and we yeah. still have, like, a whole another year until the next election, and the commercials already started where they're, like, saying bad things about other politicians.
Yeah, negative
negative campaigning, and I think that should be one of the
techniques. But that's just a part of it. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I mean, you know, we as a populace, you know, talk about this negative campaigning, but it seems to be there no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially around, like, this time because the debates are, mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense for them to be around this time just because the debates are happening. Right. It's not, like, out of the blue, but I do understand, like, it's so far away, so it's kind of like.
I mean, I guess it's giving the people a time to
think about it.
Mm-hmm. And, like, realize, mm-hmm. you know, what are they going to prepare
and people
for
and
research.
Have dropped out, and people are going to continue to fall out and stuff. Right. So.
Well, that's true. That's true. In these last few minutes, the idea of taking a criminal vote, right to vote, away is nothing new. That's happened. It dates all the way back to Greece and to Rome. And about 5.3 million Americans were unable to vote during, I think it was the 2008 election, due to felony convictions. This included 1.4 African-American males, more than 676,000 women, and 2.1 ex-offenders who had completed their sentences. But the state's approach to felon disenfranchisement varies. How do you feel about felony disenfranchisement? In other words, if you are a convicted felon, that you cannot vote. What is your position on that?
I agree with it. I know that's kind of bold to some people, but just like how felony.
Mm-hmm.
Felony. I guess how the people who have committed the crime. Yes, so nice. They can't own weapons when they're not supposed to own weapons. So I think if you can't, like, have a weapon in the state, then you shouldn't be able to vote.
Okay. All right. What do you have?
I think Chelsea was kind of going like the same direction I was. I think it depends on what you're voting for, because like stand your ground laws and like gun control and stuff. I think if you've got if you murdered someone with a gun, or if you are not mentally stable, or things such like that, you shouldn't be able to vote on stuff that has to do with stand your ground laws or gun control or stuff. But I think if it's someone who's running your country, and I think if you've completed your time in prison, I think then you should have a say, because you are a citizen and you are an individual. I think you should have a say who's making decisions for you and stuff like that.
Cameron.
Yeah, I agree with Jasmine, because if you've already committed the crime and you've done your time, you should be able to vote again. Like, but if you are still in prison, I don't think you should have that right.
Well, now, there are a couple of states that allow prisoners to vote from prison. Let me say, I think it's Maine and Vermont. I'm pretty sure. And they allow you to vote from prison. I'll get to you in 1 minute. It really depends on the state. This is something that's not, there's not national legislation for this. You know, it varies according to the state. And I'm going to get to you, and then we'll come back and talk about Florida. Oh, are you finished? Oh, okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I disagree with them being able to vote in prison, because how do you know they're going to take it seriously? They're behind bars.
Well, how do you know they're going to take it seriously when they aren't behind bars? Being in behind bars, they might take it more seriously, you know?
Aren't there, like, laws, though, that affect prisoners, like, when they get out of prison and stuff? Like, how long, like, the term would be? Like, if that affects them, shouldn't they be the ones voting for? I don't really know.
But I think it depends, because they're biased. So I think it depends on what they're but everyone's biased to different things. But I think it depends on, especially when you're a felon, because not all the time, but majority of the time, you're not mentally right. So I think it depends on what you're voting for, and not, like, I think it's when it's something important as presidential elections, when somebody's running the country you're living in and you're no longer in prison or you're no longer in jail, I think that's a case where you can be able to vote. But like I said about stand your ground laws and gun control and stuff, and if you used a gun to kill someone, if you had a gun illegally, I think that you shouldn't be able to vote on something like that.
Well, it really just depends on the state. I mean, because there's several categories. There's the unrestricted, where I mentioned you could vote from prison. There's the you can vote after you have met your terms of incarceration. That's another condition. You can vote after you have met your terms of incarceration and parole, or you can vote after you have met your terms of incarceration, parole, and probation. And then there is Florida. And Florida says that you lose your ability to vote, period. The 2011 Florida Rules of Executive Clemency states that basically anyone convicted of a felon will lose their ability to vote. They will have to reapply for executive clemency after 5 years of waiting a period. Then the individuals can, you know, apply. Now, that's what Florida says. Now, that changed in 2011, because in 2011, it was set up so that individuals convicted of nonviolent felonies had the ability to get their voting right, okay? But now they're saying it doesn't matter. If you are convicted of a felony, and as I was saying, you know, you can be convicted of a felony. Someone, you got the poor mother who wrote a check. And the check bounced, and she didn't have the money. I mean, and it wasn't like it was a criminal, you know, she didn't write the check, try to pass a bad check. She just didn't have the money. So what do you think of that? Where's that standing?
The nonviolent is a good, like, limit or limitation, because you're not doing anything that's hurting anyone. Like, the bounce check, that was clearly, like, an accident, or she just didn't have the money. Like, for an example, this isn't a real person, but obviously it's happened to people.
Right.
But I think it depends on if the crime was violent or not, or if you're mentally stable and, like, mentally all there and stuff.
Okay. All right. And we could get into all those other things, because we're running out of time. Any other comments? No comments? Chelsea.
I'm like the opposite of Jasmine. I think that Florida should keep their law.
Okay. Yes, and I got to cut you off anyway, but I want to say a sincere thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.